Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
All right, guys, welcome to today's very special episode and the beginning of a series on the Hunting 101 podcast. As always, the podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at Scentlock. Guys, we're getting into my favorite time to hunt, which is January. I love the late season. I love when it's bitter cold and dumping snow. It's usually when I head to Missouri and Oklahoma and Texas. Those kind of places, the late season, just for me, is phenomenal. And Scentlock gives you the tools to get through that late season in the bitter cold with some of their suits, like my personal favorite, the Divergent. So guys, go check out Scentlock. We need good hunting clothing year-round, not just deer and hunting season. So go check out Scentlock. But guys, we are starting off a series that I am very excited about. We're starting off our Bow Tech, our Build Your Own Bow series. This is going to be a 5, maybe 6-part series on setting up your own bows. Working on your own bows at home is on the rage right now. So we are joined by PJ Riley from Lancaster Archery, and we're going to walk you through how to set up a bow. I pulled this bow out of the box last night. This is my Persist. And as PJ walks us through how to set these bows up, I'm going to set my bow up. And then, you know, our hopes is at the end of this series, it's something that you guys can watch and set your bows up at home all by yourself. So I just pulled my Persist out of the box. As you'll notice, I put new strings on it. So these steps that we're taking would be for a new bow, or if you throw new strings on a bow, anything like that. So I haven't touched this bow yet at all. I haven't checked the specs, haven't checked the timing, haven't done anything with this bow. And PJ is going to walk us through from the beginning of pulling a bow out of the package, how to set a bow up. So episode one, we're going to dive into checking all the specs of that bow and setting the draw length of that bow. So I'm joined by PJ Riley for episode one. Episode two, we're going to be with the boys from Trophy Ridge, and they're going to walk us through how to mount all of your accessories. And then episode three, we're going to cover all of your peep sights, your D-loops, everything else you need to know on how to tie on your bow and get it set up. And then we're going to walk you through all of the timing and all the tuning of your bow and all the sighting of your bow, so you have every tool you need to build your bow right at your own house. So guys, let's jump right in, because I'm very, very excited about this one.
Welcome to Bear Archery's Hunting 101 podcast, where hunters new and old come to learn and find inspiration from stories of hunts gone by. Everyone is welcome to enjoy the outdoor way of life, and there is no better time to start than right now. So let's head into the great outdoors with your host, Dylan Ray.
Guys, I oftentimes say that I always have a binocular harness on my chest. What good is a binocular harness without a good set of binoculars? I am a sucker for fine Japanese glass. I love good optics. I love spending time behind it. It's just fun. It's fun to go out and look at stuff. But also, good optics make spotting and looking through them a whole lot more enjoyable. Koa Optics does it, and does it better than anyone else, in my opinion. They have some of the finest Japanese glass on planet Earth. It's all I've used for the past, 8 years or so. This right here, the Koa 55, is one of the best products ever made in the history of the universe. It is the smallest, most compact scope you can get, but it still offers phenomenal glass. It's really hard to find a spotter that is this small, this light, this compact. You can throw it in your backpack. You can leave it in your truck. It's so small and so compact, but it still offers phenomenal glass. This is one of my favorite products ever. Guys, if you're in the market for new optics, I would highly encourage you to check out Koa Optics, because they are, in my opinion, the best glass that you can buy. Go check them out. All right, PJ, so let's jump into this. Pulled the bow out of the box. They just bought a new bow, or maybe they switched strings on their bows. I do have to make note. Don't laugh at my strings here, PJ. This is my
This is my Fresh Prince of Bel Air themed bow. So I've got all the bright neon colors on it that I could think of. I was watching Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Yeah, I was watching Fresh Prince of Bel Air one night, and I'm like, man, I like all the bright neon colors. So that was the inspiration for these strings. So they pulled the bow out of the package. Right when you get the bow out of the package, what are you doing?
So first thing you want to do is measure that axle to axle length. And especially, you know, pulling the bow out, it's probably not going to be as much of an issue as when you change strings and cables. That's probably when you may encounter some issues. But what you want to do is make sure that bow, that your axle to axle length is in spec, because then that affects everything else. So if you're axle to axle length is not in spec, then you're going to have lots of other problems. So that's something real easy to check, and it's something real easy to fix. So we always start there. And what you're going to do is, you know, on this Bear Persist, you can see my axle screws on the ends. And they run right through the middle of the limbs, because that's where your axle is. And I'm going to measure from the center of that bolt to the center of the other bolt. And what I wanted to see is, this is 31 inches axle to axle. Mine is exactly at 31 inches axle to axle. That's where we want it to be. Now, let's say I did that and it came out to be, you know, like 31 and a half. Let's say it was long. 31 and a half would be a lot, but for argument's sake, let's just say that it's long. The fix for that then is, you would press the bow and you would twist each of the cables. You would put twists into it. In other words, you're going to add twists to the cable. Whatever you do to one cable, you would do to the other at this point. You know, we may do things different later, but at this point, I'm going to take each cable and I'm going to add two or three twists, measure it back up, and see what that did. Keep doing that until I get to that exact 31 inches. If I came in and it was short, 30 and a half inches, I would take twists out of each cable. The important thing is to do the exact same thing. If you put three twists in one cable, you're going to put three twists in the other cable. So you want to do it exactly the same. And again, what we're trying to do is get to that 31 inches.
Okay. Might be a stupid question. Let's listen, guys. I want to touch on something. There are no stupid questions when you go to set up a bow for the first time. This is all new to a lot of people, and they don't know. And I do want to preference one other thing. I put out a video saying that we were going to do this series, and this guy commented and said, well, that's great. We want a bunch of people that don't know what to do hurting themselves trying to work on a bow. While we're trying to give you all the tools to do this, safety is a number one priority. So never try to like ratchet strap your limbs to get it to press or do anything stupid like that. Never have a buddy pull the bow back so you can work on it on the, you know, whatever. Don't try anything like that. If it's going to be dangerous, take it to a shop, because we don't want anybody to get hurt. We want to give you the tools and resources to show you how to do it, but also work within your limits. Don't hurt yourself or somebody else because you're trying to work on a bow. So does it matter?
Yeah, every tool that we have here, anybody could have. These are not tools that are specific to a bow shop. These are tools that the bow shop has, but these are tools, quite frankly, we sell all these on our own website, Lancaster Archery Supply. So these are tools that you could have in your house. I just happen to have them here.
Yeah, absolutely. So does it matter? Let's say, you know, your down cable, does it matter if you twist from the top or bottom? And then your up cable, does it matter if you twist from the top or bottom? Or do you twist them evenly? Do you want to put, you know, one twist on top and one twist on bottom of each cable? Or does any of that actually make a difference? Which side you twist the cables from?
So when you're going to twist on this Bear Persist, for example, you're going to see that each of those one of the cables wraps right around the axle. That's mm-hmm. not the one you're going to twist, because that's not really going to affect your cam rotation. And that's not going to shorten things up. The cable that you want to twist, or where you want to twist it on the Bear Persist, is going to be the cable that is, I'll show it to you, is probably easier than me describing it, but it's going to be the cable that is right here.
Yeah.
This is going to be the cable that you're going to twist. And this is the bottom cam. I'll just shift over here. The top cam has one in the exact same spot.
Gotcha.
So that's going to be the one that you're going to work with when you're putting twists into or out of the cables.
Gotcha.
Because the ones that are up here around the axle, that's just not really going to do much for you.
And then another question. So this is my wife's Legend XR, which has a yoke in it. What would you do with twisting that one?
So in twisting that one, you're obviously not going to twist the end with the yokes. Leave the yokes connected, twist the other end.
Gotcha. But you still want to do, no matter what, you always want to put the same amount or take out the same amount of twists on both cables.
At this point, remember, this is what we're trying yes. to get, is we're trying to get the axle to axle. That's all we're doing at this point. At this point, we want to do the same thing to both cables. When we get into timing, then you may do something to one that you don't do to the other. At this point, do the same thing to both cables.
Gotcha. And like I said, we will cover timing in episode 3. So come back and listen to episode 3 and we'll cover when you would put more twists in one of the other cables. All right. So do you do anything?
Yeah. So to your point, Dylan, about there are no stupid questions, you know, okay, which way is putting twists in and which way is taking them out? If you just look at your cable, you'll see the way that it twists. So when I say you want to add twists, that means I want to twist it up more. I want yep. to add twists in the direction that the cable is twisting. If I need to lengthen my axle to axle, I want to take twists out. So I want to untwist the string.
Yes. And if you think about it, you know, and that's one of those things, well, do I take them out or do I put them in? So if you need to make your axle to axle shorter, by adding twists to the cables, you're adding more, you're making those cables shorter. So it's going to pull that in. It's going to pull that in and make your axle to axle shorter if your axle to axle was long. So just think about it like that. I want to add twists to pull it in because that's going to make the cable shorter. Now, does that mess with your string at all? Do you have to mess with your string now? Do you mess with your string?
So at this point, we're not worrying about that because technically what it could do, you know, if you want to lengthen your draw length, one of the things, you know, by minimal amounts, one of the ways that you lengthen your draw length a bit is by putting twists into the cables. But we're not at that point. As I said, we're just trying to get to spec. So 31 inches axle to axle, that's where we want to get. We're not worried about draw length yet.
Gotcha. All right. So once we have got the bow axle to axle wise correct, now what happens, and we're going to go, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. What happens if we get that to 31 inch axle to axle and then your brace height's wrong?
I've never had that happen.
Well,
usually, go ahead.
Yeah, ideally, it never should happen because that bow was built that way. So if that does happen, that's one of those things. Don't start trying stupid stuff to get it to work. You know, I just call the manufacturer because there's something wrong with that bow. So once we measure that, do you still double check the brace height though? Correct.
I do, yeah. And I mean, usually, theoretically, like I said, axle to axle is what drives a lot of these specs. It's going to drive your bow speed. It's going to drive your weight. You know, a lot of times when guys who put new strings on, they talk about, oh, my bow was losing poundage. Well, your strings were probably stretching, but as well, you may have been coming out of spec Because if you're long, your draw weight is going to be light. And if your ATA was short, your poundage is probably pretty high. So getting that ATA usually takes care of all that stuff, and it should get you right to what your brace height is.
Yeah, absolutely. So then
what it's supposed to be. It should get you to the correct brace height.
Which again also is a lot of your problems, because guys, which we're going to dive into next on how to set your draw length, you know, a lot of guys follow the manual and put their modules right where they need to be. And then they're like, well, why is it 27 and a quarter, not 27 and a half? Well, your spec, your bow's not to the correct ATA.
Guys, when it comes to hunting and being outdoors, I believe there's one product that I use more than anything. That's not my bow. That's not my boots. It's not my anything else other than a binocular harness. If I am outside doing anything outdoors, I've got a binocular harness on. Whether I'm shooting, whether I'm hanging tree stands, whether I'm out hiking, it doesn't matter. If I'm outdoors doing just about anything, I've always got my binocular harness. Alaskan Guide Creations does it, and does it very, very well. I've been using these now for about 8 years, and I absolutely love them. The new system with all the magnets are really good, really accessible, very customizable. Guys, if you're in the market for a new binocular harness, I would highly, highly, highly encourage you to check out Alaskan Guide Creations, because they are phenomenal.
Let's dive into that draw length. So once you've checked all the specs and everything is hitting right where it needs to be, let's walk through draw length.
Yeah, we can talk about brace height. You know, what you're measuring is from the deepest part of the throat on the grip, and you're measuring to the front of the string. So the brace height for this bow is 6.5. So right where this meets the string, you can see that is the 6.5 mark. So the bow is 31 inches axle to axle. No surprise, my brace height is 6.5 inches. So it is right on spec with what they say.
Perfect.
All right, so draw length. So on the EKO cams, you know, we have what's called a rotating module. So this module right here, we're going to rotate that to different positions to go from 26 inches up to 30 inches. Now, on the EKO cam, one of the unique features of it is draw length is not only affected by the module, but it's also affected by the position of the draw stop. You can see that little triangle on there. And right now you can see the plus right there. So I have the triangle pointed towards the plus. Back here, I have a minus. If I flip this draw stop around so that the triangle points towards the minus, that's going to have an impact on the draw length as well. Fortunately, your bow is going to come with a manual that's going to tell you, you know, if you want to go to position one and on the module and put the draw stop in B pointed towards the plus, that's going to give you one draw length measurement plus let off. Point being, figure out where you want it to be. My draw length is 29.5 inches. So I'm going to set this at 29.5 inches according to the sheet, the specs for this bow. And then I'm going to figure out my let off. If I want max let off, you know, I'm going to put my draw stop in that position as well. So just going by the manual, we'll show you how to do that. And rotating the modules is super simple. We're going to have on the EKO cam, we're going to have two screws. One is right here and one is right here. And my indicator is right here. There's a little round post on the cam that has a white line on it. That's my indicator. And so that's what I'm going to line up to get my mod exactly where I want it. That tells me, you know, there's a zero, and then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, plus there's little hash marks in between indicating halfway, you know, half inch draw length adjustments. wherever the chart says I need to be, I'm going to find that line on the module and line it up with the indicator that's part of the cam. That's how you're going to get that cam to the right position. And then for the draw stop, it's pretty simple. It's just lettered A, B, C, D, all the way down to letter I. And so I'm just going to, there's a screw on the draw stop. I would just take that out, and then I can move that to any one of the holes to get the proper let off and draw length combo that I want. Super simple.
So for instance, if I want a 28 inch draw with an 85% let off, I'm going to put the modules in the 2.75 position. I'm going to put the draw stop in the E position facing the plus sign. And that's going to give me a 28 inch draw with an 85% let off. So that basically, when you go to set your draw length, and this is true for any bow, it's going to come with this chart, and you just move that module right to where you need it to be. So, like, this is my wife's Legend XR, and it actually has numbers. So I just put – I don't even need a chart for this one. It literally says 25, so I put it on 25. I will say this. On some bows, you do have to have – I don't know how to explain this real well, PJ, but you're going to have to change the post where your cable connects, which means you're going to have a press. So if it doesn't fall, so basically, like, this is in post one. This draw can go from, you know, 2018 to 21 in that first position. And then if I want to do from 25 to 28, you have to put it in the second position. So there will be times where you have to have a press to change your draw length. However, like on the EKO cam,
that's those bows that have the giant draw length adjustments.
Yes.
That have huge ranges. That's where you're going to play with those post positions.
But either way, just read your chart and put those modules in that position, and that's going to give you the draw length. Now, once we have in episode 3, after we've tied on our D-loop and got our rest and everything, we'll put that on the draw board, not only to check timing, but to check your draw length and to check your let off, to check all of that stuff to make sure you're hitting where you want to be hitting. So whatever bow it is, Matthews, Hoyt, are there any bows that are still modular specific?
Yes. Matthews and Prime for sure are going to be mod based. You're going to, in other words, if I want 27 and a half inches, I got to have a 27 and a half inch mod. If I want to go to 28, I have to change mods, get a 28 inch mod. So for sure, Matthews and Prime still follow that scenario. So that would be a totally different case than this one. That's the only way you can adjust draw length is by changing modules.
So with those, there still comes a mod chart and you just know, oh, I need a 3 mod to make it my draw length.
Exactly. Yes.
So
correct.
When it comes to draw length, just follow the chart that your bow comes with, and that's how you'll set your draw length. So PJ, before we start putting on all of our accessories, before we put on our rest, our sights, or all that stuff, is there anything else you're doing with that bow?
No, right now, this is my baseline. This is where I'm going to start. I know my bow is in spec. I know I have the draw length to where the chart says it should be. So everything is ready to go from here. And then, you know, once we, mainly the thing we need is to get a D-loop on there. And then that'll allow us to check a lot of other things. But right now, the bow is set up to all the specs that I want them to be at. You know, the bow is where it needs to be, and it's set to my draw length according to the charts.
Okay, so we'll cover fixes in episode 3. But what would be some common problems if you were to put that on the draw board and it's drawing 29 7/8, something too long for you, but your modules are set, what would be some reasons for that?
So a reason for that could be that your bow is not in spec. If your bow is in spec, your draw length should match. Unless we're talking about something with older strings And then, you know, your strings have stretched and then things can get a little bit out of whack. But with a new bow, you should be matched up. You know, once you have ATA right, they should be accurate as far as draw length. Now, what you can encounter is just one that where the draw length is a bit long. You know, that happens. And then what you would do is change your draw length position. So if you, if the chart tells you, hey, this is supposed to be 29 and a half and it's showing 29 and three quarters or almost 30 inches. With some bows that happens sometimes, you just change the module position.
Gotcha. So guys, now PJ, have you ever found, and the reason I ask is because I just recently did, have you ever found that some bows you just simply like a different draw length?
Oh yeah. So I play with draw length all the time. My hunting bows, I generally have at 29 and a half inches, but my target bows, may be anywhere from 30 to 30 and a half. So I would feel comfortable with 30 inches in a hunting bow as well. I just tend to go a little shorter to avoid problems with hitting bulky jackets if I'm wearing one on a cold day. You know, that when you shorten the draw length, then I am shrinking myself this way. In other words, I'm kind of closing up to get away from my arm where I may have a bulky jacket on. So for sure, you know, your draw length is not necessarily set in stone that I must shoot this draw length every time. Sometimes one may feel better. A grip, different grips. You know, if a company, again, with the draw length, is the draw length when they measured it, is that based with the grip on or did they measure it with the grip off? We don't know. And so, it, you know, that could have an impact because this grip may be a quarter, half inch thick, which is going to change your draw length. So, yeah, definitely one of the factors of setting your draw length is to just see if it feels good. Because if you draw it back and you say, man, that feels short, even though it may be set to your draw length, I would change it. If it doesn't feel right to you, I would change it.
And you hit it spot on. So Bear sends you these different grips. And this one is a very streamlined, very flat grip. And if I change out this grip for this, I'm going to change my draw length because it does, it affects the way that I hold that bow, which is why I asked. Now, for the guy who this is their first bow, how do they even know where to start? Because I remember, you know, I remember like when I got my wife her first bow and I was not, had no idea how to find her draw length. I just picked the spot and she pulled it back. I'm like, oh, that's way too long. And so it took 3 hours of just, oh, no, that's way too short. And of course I was doing it on like a legit, so it can go from like, you know, 12 inches to like 30. And so I'm moving all around. I'm like, no, that's not even close. So how do they even know where to start on their draw length?
All right. So to get you a starting point for your draw length, one of the simplest ways to do this, and this is easiest if you do this with another person, what you're going to do is take a tape measure, one end on the middle finger of one hand, and you want to measure to the end of your other middle finger to get a measurement. And so there I come back with 73 inches for me. It's easiest if you have somebody do that so that you're not trying to hold the tape measure like I'm trying to do. But I do that and I come up with 73 inches. Whatever that measurement that you get is, you're going to want to divide that by 2.5. So if I divide 73 by 2.5, it comes out to 29.2 inches. And as I mentioned, I like 29.5, anywhere up to 30.5 on my target bows. But it's going to give you a ballpark. And then once you get your draw, once you set it to something, let's say I set it to 29 inches, I come back to full draw. If it just feels a little bit short, well, then, you know, I can always lengthen it a little bit. What you want it to do is feel comfortable, but you want to be in that ballpark. In other words, I don't want to be shooting 27 inches. I don't want to be shooting 31 inches. those are not going to be right for me. So that wingspan gives you a number to start with and then go from there. Because you don't want to be crunched up, you know, so that you feel like you have to lean your head forward into the string because it's not coming far enough back. Nor do you want to be so stretched out that you feel like, you know, the bowstring is way back past your anchor point.
Right.
So that's going to be how you're going to get your start and then go from there.
And that's exactly what we're getting there. We're getting a starting point. You know, if I'm setting up a bow for somebody and they're not right with me, then I'll have them send me their wingspan so I can get it set close. And then, you know, Rhett Walker is a perfect example. Rhett lives in Georgia, so I was setting his bow up, but then he was coming to me. And so I wanted to have that mainly set up before he got here. So he measured his wingspan. That came out to 29 inches. Well, Rhett's torso is a lot smaller than his arms are long. And so it made it to where his draw length was actually a little bit longer than that. And so it was 29 and a half. But still, we didn't have to, you know, fight finding a starting point. We started at 29 and then it looked a little bit short. So we moved it out just a little bit and it was perfect. So that is a really good way to find a starting point. But that's not the end all be all. Don't just do that and say, well, it says I have to be a 29.2. No. So that's a good way to find a starting point. So guys, go ahead.
If you're able to, if you've got a pro shop somewhere near you, I can't recommend going there enough because for years, I shot at 29 inches. So that felt comfortable. That felt normal to me. Then when I came here to Lancaster Archery, our academy instructor was watching me shoot and she said, your draw length is too short. So she had me go to 29 and a half inches. And I'll tell you what that did is, it made my groups, my arrow groups, come together because what I didn't know was 29 actually was a little bit short. So I tended to be pulling a little bit hard, which was causing causing all kinds of pin movement, which is bow movement. So when I got to 29 and a half inches, my pin settled down because I was at a more comfortable length. And then as I mentioned, for target archery, I go up to 30 because I use a different kind of release, a handheld release. So it needed to be a little bit longer. But yeah, having someone with knowledge, an archery coach, or, you know, someone at a pro shop watch you shoot, they can spot pretty quickly, hey, your draw length is too short or too long.
Right. Absolutely. So we've got our bows in spec. We've got everything ready to mount our accessories. So next week, we're going to be joined by Andrew Hughes, which is a product manager there at Trophy Ridge. And we're going to mount all of our accessories, show you all the different, you know, bows have different mounting options now. So we're going to walk you through those mounting options, what might work best, what are the differences and benefits of each mounting option. We're going to get all of our accessories mounted back. And then episode 3, we're going to be right back here with PJ to dive more into how to tie on a D-loop, how to put in a peep sight, how to center shot your rests, how to check your timing, how to check your poundage and your draw length and all of those things. So guys, make sure and jump back in next week as we talk about how to set our accessories up. And then week 3, we're going to dive into the nuts and bolts of how to get this bow shooting well.
Guys, there's not many things that I'm going to tell you to stop and do right now. One of those things is to stop and go join Pope and Young right now. It's $45 for the entire year to be a member of Pope and Young. And what that does for you is that helps to ensure your rights as a bow hunter. Pope and Young is constantly fighting for your rights as a bow hunter. They are the national bow hunting organization in North America. They exist to protect your rights as a bow hunter. They are all the time going before state legislators to fight for your rights and to continue protecting your rights as a bow hunter. The record book exists in the first place because somewhere between us and the Indians, people had lost sight that bow hunting was a lethal way of harvesting big game. And so Glenn St. Charles and his group of cohorts, they started the record book so they could take it to different states and show that bow hunting is, in fact, a ethical way of harvesting big game. So guys, don't get caught in Pope and Young only being a record book. They are your voice for bow hunters, and there's power in numbers. So I would highly encourage you to join today because we need to stand together to protect our rights. Also, what you might not know is if you've bought a Bear bow, you can go and register that bow, and you're actually going to get a free Pope and Young membership. Bear Archery is such a believer in the mission of Pope and Young and what they stand for and what they do to protect our rights that they are going to buy your first year's membership. So if you've bought a bow, go online and register that bow, and you're going to get a free year's membership to Pope and Young. But guys, I would encourage you, stop right here, right now, and go join Pope and Young, because we have to protect our rights as bow hunters.
So guys, thank you so much for listening. You guys have a fantastic week.